You know, in Africa, a lot of people began to think a lot more about the end of the age, and that's my topic for this morning, the end of the age. Why did they do so? Because when you get these calamities, these disasters in the world, you begin to think, if you have read the Bible, you begin to see some signs there that perhaps the end of the age is closer than it was last week, last month, whatever. So I just wanted to run very quickly through some points here to encourage you if you think about the end of the age. And my text is Matthew 24. Do you still bring Bibles to church like we used to? Yeah. And maybe I'll get people to read out some of these verses. It's a long chapter, but you really need to read it through at home and just see exactly what Jesus said, the whole thing. In my Bible, I use this NIV, and everything is printed in red that Jesus said. Very helpful, isn't it? And all of this, Matthew 24, is all in red. So Matthew 24 talks about the end of the age. Jesus had just been in the temple, and he was saying, "Woe to you, Pharisees, woe to you, woe to you." He was really telling them off about the way they were behaving. And then as he went out, the disciples looked at the temple and they said, "See these big stones in this wonderful building here?" And Jesus said, "These are all going to come down. The whole lot's going to come down. The prophecy that there is wonderful, and not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And they went to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came and they said, tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, I can say to you quite honestly, I sat in this very church as a teenager when I was at Freiburg High School. Where's Freiburg? Over there somewhere. And I remember being taught about the end times, and I used to feel indignant because the preachers were saying, "Jesus is coming back, and you see all this, and it's closer ever than before." And I used to think, it's all very well for them. You know, they've had these old elders that preach to us, and I'm just a young person with my life ahead of me. In other words, I didn't respond very well to the idea that the end of the age might come and we wouldn't have our lives before us at all. But you see, the young person doesn't grasp necessarily that the life that will come after the end of the age will be a million times better than this life that they think they're going to miss. So that was the way I used to think. So if you're a young person, maybe you could think about that. Anyway, COVID made people in Africa think about this a bit more. And I think this is really worth dwelling on because I don't want to be like those elders that preached to us years and years ago who wanted to spoil our fun. I don't want to do that at all. But let's not. I've got 3 points this morning. One is do not be, I'm just waiting for that to change. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's what Jesus said. By what? One, those who claim to be Christ. I don't know whether you watched the TV. I watched something on TV some time ago. There's this fellow, he said he was the Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. There are going to be people who claim to be Christ, and they're not. That's in verse 5. Number 2, by false prophets. Again, we go back to the TV. Have you seen prophets on TV and you think, they don't seem genuine to me? Have you seen such things? Or even in the flesh? And there are those that Jesus made it very clear. There are going to be those who say, "Lord, Lord," and he said, "I never knew you. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that in your name? No, I never knew you." Those people were false prophets and they're there. We have to be discerning. We've really got to think about this. Don't be deceived. Number 3, these false Christs and false prophets will perform great signs and miracles. Isn't that scary? Great signs and miracles by people who are false. We have to use our eyes and ears and our discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit to see who is false and who is not false. That's a challenge, isn't it? Don't be deceived by these false Christs and false prophets who will perform great signs and miracles. Last one, even the elect will be deceived. Even the elect. Now, when he uses the word elect, he's talking about those who have joined the body of believers, those who are part of our Christian community. Those are the elect, and even they are going to be deceived. When I look at what happened last year with the turmoil in the United States, I began to think, there are people amongst the elect who have been deceived in one way or another. It's easy to happen when you get masses of people who all begin to think the same way, and they lead each other in deception, don't they? Number two, this is my next point. First of all, don't be deceived. Number two, watch for the signs. Watch for the signs. If you get up, and anybody have children here or grandchildren? Get up in the morning, a child looks a little bit unwell, pale. It's a sign, isn't it? It's a sign that they're sick. And if you're a discerning parent, you see that. Watch for the signs. Well, we're looking around and we see these are the things that Jesus mentioned were signs. One, wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. I'm reading a book at the moment by a girl who escaped from Syria, and she was disabled. They wheeled her out in a wheelchair. This war in Syria, albeit a civil war, but dreadful, the things that are going on. You don't have to go very far to see wars and rumors of wars in our world today. Verse 6. Verse 7, famines and earthquakes. You get earthquakes in New Zealand a lot, don't you? Do they seem to be increasing? Sometimes I think they are. We arrived were put in the quarantine Grand Mercure Hotel in Auckland, and there was an earthquake during the night, which I think you felt all over this part of the North Island, and they said there's going to be a tsunami. And we thought, well, we're here in quarantine. We can't go anywhere. We can't run for the hills, but at least we're on the 11th floor. So we thought, well, we'll look out and watch people swimming below when the tsunami comes. Well, and here it goes on to the next bit, the roaring and the tossing of the seas. I thought about this in 2004, I think it was, when we had Boxing Day, 2005, was it? When they had that terrible earthquake in Southeast Asia and a huge tsunami which killed something like 250. The roaring, tossing of the seas. 250,000 people died in that tragedy. And in my life, I'd never heard of such a thing. All these people killed by a huge tidal wave that was caused by a massive earthquake underground. The roaring and the tossing of the seas is there. And there are other passages in Scripture which speak of that. Tossing of the sea, which can cause incredible fear in our hearts. In the sun, in the moon, and the stars, and the heavenly bodies. Let's read that verse 29, if you do have a Bible there. In fact, is anybody like to read that for us? We're looking at verse 29 here. It starts at, yes, immediately after the distress of those days. Anybody brave enough to read out for us? Yes, please.
Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and their heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Yes, please keep going.
Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other.
Thank you. And you see this, it's all happening. And have you seen the sun grow dark yet? Have you seen the moon stop giving its light? Have you seen the stars fall and these heavenly bodies be shaken in that way? I haven't seen that. But what Jesus is saying is watch for it. Watch for it, because it's going to come. Two, this is F now, the sign of, there we go, I've gone ahead, I missed out one here, the roaring and tossing of the sea, the abomination that causes desolation. Many people read this in Daniel and are confused by it, and it seems we're not clear what is going to happen here, but it's something we have to look for, and probably we'll see that. Some people say it already happened back in olden times. But I often feel that Jesus' prophecies and many of the prophecies in the Old Testament are revealed in successive ways, in different ways, more than once. And in this case, we have something that's going to appear standing in the holy place. Now, when I came in this morning, I noticed that you had made the front of the church so much more attractive. You put timber in there and some lights, and it just looks really nice. And this is your holy place. Now, of course, we don't want to be that way, that we have a holy place that's only here. You've got a holy place at home. Your life should be a holy place. But anyway, we're not sure what Jesus meant here, but the abomination that causes desolation standing in the holy place. So we need to look for that. The sun, moon, and the stars, we just mentioned that. And now the Son of Man, which you read for us, thank you very much. The sign of the Son of Man. Now, is that sign of the Son of Man going to be what you put on the wall there? Is that the sign of Christianity? It is, isn't it? It's a symbol of Christianity. And in the Protestant tradition, we say, well, we don't put the figure of Jesus hanging on the cross because we like to think of Jesus risen, don't we? That's the Protestant tradition, whereas the Catholic tradition is to remember Jesus on the cross. Whichever way, it's a sign of the Son of Man, because Jesus called himself the Son of Man. And I wonder whether, when this day comes, that we might see that cross in the sky. I don't know. That's fanciful thinking. But we're going to see some kind of a sign of the Son of Man, verse 30. Point three. So, Jesus says, don't be deceived. Two, watch for the signs. Three, be faithful and wise. In other words, how are we going to respond to what we see and what we anticipate? What shall we do? Well, first of all, no one knows the day nor the hour. Jesus made that very, very clear. Not even he knows it. Only the Father in heaven knows. We don't know the day nor the hour. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready. We have to be ready, indeed. No one knows. B, one will be taken and the other left. There was a song about that years ago written by a Christian singer, Larry Norman. This goes back into the last century. And life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. And it talks about this very thing that Jesus said, one will be taken and the other will be left. You imagine that. You wake up in the morning, hey, where's she gone? She gone to make the tea. That's scary, isn't it? Or where did he go? Has he gone off running? In the workplace, you're working alongside a colleague. Suddenly, the colleague isn't there. One will be taken and the other will be left. That's verse 40 and 41. See, you will be rewarded if you're found to be doing your duty. Do you know, in as we've come to New Zealand this time, we've left our place. We've got these various places, actually, in Africa. Limapela Lodge, where we live with our houses and so on. We have two very reliable workers. One looks after the vegetable garden, and the other one looks after the grounds, because our grounds are really quite big and pretty now. We've developed them really well. And I said to these two guys, well, we're going to New Zealand, and one is called Gershom and the other is called Glad. Would you love that name, Glad? I'm Glad. And he's a super guy. And I said, you know, when we come back from New Zealand, if we come and we see the lawns trimmed and watered and green, because in Africa we have 6 months of dry weather, and we come back and we see the flower beds looking nice and trim and everything clean and tidy and the leaves swept, I'm going to give you both a bonus. If you're a worker, you like that, don't you? It's an incentive. Give them a bonus because they're working hard. But I know already, because this happened last time we came to New Zealand, I didn't offer any bonus, still got back there and found the lawns were looking green and tidy, the edges were trimmed, the leaves were swept, everything was clean. So I know when we get back, it's going to happen again. This time I'm going to give them a bonus. But this is a good example of what Jesus is talking about. If you go away and the workers don't do their duty and they don't pay attention to what they're supposed to be doing, they're lazy and useless. So let's be rewarded in being found to be doing our duty. Verse 46. Finally, to the faithful and the wise, the faithless and the foolish, verse 51, faithless and the foolish will be destroyed. You know, in our Christian tradition, we sometimes concentrate a lot on the positive side. that we will be rewarded if we are faithful Christians, faithful followers of Jesus, and we don't like to dwell on the other, like the one you wake up in the morning and that one's gone, and you're left. Which one of you did the right thing? But in fact, Jesus makes it very clear, those who didn't do their duty, those who were useless and lazy, they're going to be destroyed. There's no question about that. So let me just go back over these points once again. First of all, don't be deceived. We've got so many things in our lives and so many people and leaders in our lives. You don't have to look very far in today's world to see many leaders who have deceived their people. Now, we see this in Africa all the time. Leaders who deceive their people all the time. Some see through it and others don't. So don't let's be deceived. And in the Christian community, by all those people who are claiming this and claiming that, and they're not at all. Two, watch for the signs. Read the passage again, Matthew 24. You can see all those signs because Jesus said, when you see the leaves and you know the summer's coming, and it's the same thing. If you see these signs, which we're already seeing, the roaring and the tossing of the sea, the earthquakes and the famines, etc., we know that the time is near. So watch for those signs and be vigilant. Number three, be faithful, be wise, because nobody knows the day, and do our duty. Finally, one little passage there from the same. Who then is faithful? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. And verse 47, truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So, like me as a young teenager here in Palmerston North, thinking it's not really fair, I've got my life ahead of me and they're going to take it away. No, no, not at all, because this verse makes it very clear. He will put you in charge of all his possessions. He'll give you great responsibility, great joy, and glory with him as he sits there with his Father. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we have thought about these implications of the end times that Jesus talked about, we pray that you will still our hearts, that you will open our eyes, that we'll be perceptive, we'll be able to understand what Jesus actually talked about, and to be able to respond in the right way so that as those who have decided to be followers of Jesus, we will be ready for him when he returns, and we will be doing our duty when he returns. We pray also, Father, that as we live our lives in the community, in schools, in our places of work, in our homes, and wherever we are, that the example that we show to others will be one which others might look at and say, well, that's what I would like to be. We pray, Father, that you will help us in that. Forgive us for when we go wrong. Forgive us for when we fail you. And when we deny you in subtle ways, and we pray, Father, that you will give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to go forward as Christians, living the life that you intend us to live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.